If you have your Bibles, like, you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And if you would, stand to your feet in honor of God's Word. We'll read verse 1 through 6 this morning and just see what the Lord has for us. And God is good. God is great. There's none beside Him this morning. All things are well in heaven, and all things are right where they are to be on earth. Rest assured today, God's in charge. I want to encourage you with that. As Christians today, we have a God who's sovereign, a God who's in the authority. Chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles, verse 1. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. For if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, without a teaching priest, without law. But when they are in trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, and he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. But great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. And nation was destroyed of nation and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. And Lord, as we open up the Scripture today, God, as we begin to present what you presented to me, God, may it be a help to the children of God. Father, may it lead us, dear God, to a greater and a happier and holier life. And Father, may Christ be magnified and honored in all that's said and done. Father, may God, dear God, this morning, Father, be the one that we lean on and we trust in. And Father, help us not to lean on our own understanding today. God, help us not to trust in our own heart. And Father, that we, dear God, would sacrifice and surrender. And God, that we'd serve you today with all that we have within us. And Father, that you'd open the eyes of your children. God, help us to receive and hear what you have for us today. In Jesus' precious holy name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. My heart was stirred this week when I saw our nation and our people and our country seem to be unraveling right before our eyes. To see the death of people who die at the hands of policemen. To see policemen die at the hands of the people. I believe it was a sad day, and it was a very, very uncomfortable day to see that take place. And then all that's been said since then, and all that is being said even now, pointing fingers and who caused this, what was the reason for it, what are we going to have to do, we've got to get together, we've got to come together, we've got to unify. We've got the government that needs to put in greater laws, they say. We got the police who needs to be more tolerant. We got the people that need to be less rebellious. And we find today of a great, great confusion within our country. What happened? Why is it going there? Why are we here? Did it happen overnight? Will it be fixed by tomorrow? Is it the president? Is it the senators? Is it the congressmen? Is it people? Is it the policemen? What is it? Why are we where we are today, the greatest nation that ever has been born from God? Why is it today America, the greatest nation of all nations of all time? You're not find people on boats getting away from America. You find people on boats coming to America. You don't find people fleeing America. You're finding people trying to get into America. Why is America, it seems today, shedding its own blood, causing such harm and suffering and pain. Well, as I read in the Scripture, Israel was some in a comparison to what I believe we are in today. I notice the children of Israel, being that great nation that God has called out of all nations. He has determined the people, and with those people He's called them Israel. And the nation of Israel, being a great nation, as He told Abraham, we find that David was the king of that nation. And then after David died, we found that the king of Solomon was now in reign and rule of all of Israel. Well, King Solomon died. And we find that his death is recorded there in the Scripture. As we see there in chapter 9 in verse 31, Solomon slept with his fathers and he was buried in the city of David, his father. Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. So now we have another man named Rehoboam who became king of the tribes. Now when Solomon died, Israel was divided. You have the northern kingdoms and you have the southern kingdoms. With the northern kingdoms, it was divided into 10 tribes. Jeroboam was king of Israel. And now we find that there are two tribes that are of the southern tribes. Rehoboam was king of Judah. And now it's divided. King of Israel, king of Judah. Northern and southern. We find that the children of Israel at one time was together, was whole, was working and walking in the same direction, under the same God, under the same Word, under the same authority, under the same King. And you found that that nation was one nation, and that nation was a nation of itself and within itself. Now we find the nations divided into two. But there's another Scripture that I want to read because of the Rehoboam and Jeroboam being the kings of each nation, yet of all of Israel together. In 2 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 15, read this with me for just a moment. I want you to notice where Israel's come from. At one time, under the hand of God, created by God, divided from all other nations with God, and God set a king named David to be the king of Israel. Then Solomon became the king. Solomon died. Now the Israel's divided into two different departments, two different tribes, or two different northern and southern, two different kings, king of Judah, king of Israel. And look what the kings are doing. Here in chapter 12, verse 15, the last portion of that Scripture. And there were wars between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. That's what's going on in Israel, in the nation. There was a war between the two. There was a war continually. It wasn't just an overnight war. It wasn't just some day war. It wasn't just some week war. It was a war continually, continually, and continually. And I remind myself of Genesis chapter 6, and I'm going to read this to you as I put this together. The Bible says in Genesis 6 and verse 5, the Bible says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Not just in the day, not just in the night, not just in the Friday, not just in a certain time or situation, continually. Every day, all day, 24 hours a day. Just as the children of Israel, under its kings and its authorities, the nation was at war with each other continually in every aspect, in every facet, in every place, in every step, in every hour, war, war, war. And we find in America today, it's continually, every day you wake up, every day you go to Facebook, every day you go to the internet, every day you look on TV at the news, every day you read the newspaper, there's something else going on that brings division to our nation, that brings a fight with each other, that brings a contrariness with one another, that brings division and separation, fight, war, continually. Do we not see that this morning? It's the way it was in the days of the Old Testament. God's people were at war with each other. We find here in Genesis chapter 6, but because of that continual evilness, the Bible says in verse 13, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." You know what this continual fighting and continual war and continual dissension between each other and contention with one another, the Bible says, God said it led to violence. You know what we see across our land today? Violence. Why are we in violence? Because we're continually at war with one another. That's the way it is today in America. That is the way it was in the days of Jeroboam and Rehoboam. We see that right there in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, telling us the very same truth. Now I want you to notice that nations at war with each other. Our nation is not at war with other nations. Our nation is at war with each other. Our nation is fighting our nation. Cities are fighting our cities. We find that citizens today are at war with one another. We find that Americans today are at war with each other. We find today that blacks are against blacks, whites are against whites, brown are against brown, Christians are against Christians, Muslims are against Muslims, people are against government, straight is against gays, citizens are against authorities, and we continue and continue and continue and continue. Hope I'm not preaching to some deaf ear. Hope this morning we're not taking the message lightly. You say, man, I wish there were more people here. No, I'm just glad you're here. We find this morning the cause of this war. The cause of the war in the days of Jeroboam and the days of Rehoboam. The cause. Why were they at war continually within the nation? I can say to you in way of comparison that the reason why America is in war today, this week, last week, and has been for some time, I'll tell you why. I can give you the cause for that. I want you to notice number one. Here in chapter 15, and there in verse 3, it tells us, the Spirit of God is telling the prophet Oded. So we're talking about a word from heaven. We're talking about God is saying, God is speaking. This ain't a man's opinion. This ain't a man's thought. This isn't something that man has written. This is what God has said to Asa. He said in verse 3, "Now for a long season, Israel hath been without the true God." You know, from the time in chapter 9 of 2 Chronicles when Solomon died, and God had His hand on Solomon, and God had His hand in the reigning of Jerusalem and all over Israel, it was a good day. It was good days with Solomon. You know, when Solomon died, it was around 975 B.C. And now in chapter 15, it's 941 B.C. Do you know that's about 51 years later? Solomon being in charge and of king there, 51 years later, Jerusalem, Judah, Israel, the people of God, are now at war continually, 51 years later. Is that very long? No, not at all. What happened? Well, God says because there was a season, a long season, it's been 51 years now, Israel hath been without the true God. So there's a time in Israel's life when the true God was with Israel and walked with Israel and in Israel. But now, 51 years have gone by and they're without the true God. meaning that they're still worshiping gods. It's just not the true God. See, the children of Israel has not left their worship. They left the God who brought forth worship. They allowed gods within their lives. They've allowed false gods and pagan gods. They've allowed idols to enter into their daily life and their daily walk. And they have allowed them to come into their homes and come into their places of worship. And now the true God is out and the false gods are in. And they've allowed it to be so. They don't have they worshiped gods. They've allowed gods, but they followed gods. They followed their own gods. The gods that they created. The gods that they made. The gods that they have put in their lives. The gods that they have instilled within their homes and within their lifestyle. They're still in the way of God in their life. It's just not the true God. The true God hasn't been there for some long season. But without the true God, again, the true God governed their lives. You remember yourself. You can look back into the history of the Israelite. You can go back until where God took them out of Egypt and God has brought them to the promised land. And you can talk and see and we can discuss in the way of fact how God governed their lives. But now God's not in their lives. So there's no governing of life. Also, God was the one who gained their hearts during those years and those times when they laid their lives down and gave their hearts to God, and God would bless them and God would use them and God would lead them along the way. But now, since God, the true God, is gone out of Israel, you find that there's no gain of the heart with God, but something else has gained their heart. But it's not God. So we find that God has not governed their lives and God's not gained their hearts. And we find that the guide of their minds, it used to be God, the Lord God, the true God, the only living God. But God is now withdrawn and they're without God. So something else is guiding their minds. So Israel has found themselves Rehoboam and is at war. And it's continually. And the reason why God says in verse 3 is because for a long season Israel has been without the true God. While it is America this morning in the same condition, in the same place as 2 Chronicles 15, what happened? What's the reason for it? Can I tell you, about 56 years ago, 1960s hit America. In 1962, June the 25th, court removed prayer from the public schools. June 25th, 1962, court, no more praying, no more talking with God, no more petitioning with the God of heaven. No more public, no more leading a prayer, no more answering as prayers the answer. We now, as a public system, for young people from the ages of 5 and 6 up to the ages of 18 and 19, has now been removed from up to that point, the three things that every family of American who knew that God was God and America was America, three things they told in the starting about from 1960 back was this. Number one, believe in God. That was what America was about. Believe in God. What God? The God of Israel, the God of Isaac, Jacob, and of Abraham. The God, the creator of the world, the God named Jesus, amen, who became flesh and dwelt among us. And we find that's what the American families was telling their children, believe God. Number two, work hard. Work hard. Work hard. Whatever you do, do it with all you've got. Work hard.
hard. Work hard.
The third thing that was told in the days ending in 1960 was, serve your country. Serve your country. Not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. There was patriotism. There was spirituality. And there was family. Those three emphases and those three points were nailed in and pushed in and leveled in. And so in 1962, in June the 25th, we find that the courts is telling the children who all their lives have been told, pray. No longer is God welcome in this system. No longer is your prayers appreciated nor wanted. Remove it. 1963, another court order was to remove the Bible from our school system. No more teaching of the Bible, no more quoting of the Bible, nothing more of being led in a Bible study, nothing more in any government with the schools under the government authority. The Bible is not to be intertwined, intervened, or have anything to do with the school system any longer. And you'll find up to that point that the homes had Bibles in their homes, and the white people had in their lives the Word of God that was guiding and guarding in America that was built on God's Word and was built upon God's prayer. Now, finally, in America in 1962, 56 years ago, that America said, we no longer want the Bible nor prayer in our schools. Of course, long season now, we've had not the true God. Which leads to war, which leads to violence. In the 1960s, we know it as the Women's Lib. It was known as the feminism was introduced. It broke down the home. It broke down the responsibility and the very authority of the father and the husband. It brought forth division. It brought forth a rebellion and a stubbornness. As a family was of whole, and a family was of one, and in a family there must be a leader, and in a family there must be followers. But when the women's lib, and when this liberation took place with women, it became that now women are no longer wanting to be just moms and wives. They want to be more than that. I'm not against women working. I'm not against women having education. I'm not against women making of themselves. I'm not against women and their success and prosperity. But for the deterrent of the home and for the destruction of the family, I am. This is where it was. 1967, the state legalized abortion. Abortion's now lawful. Killing of what God has made in a womb of a baby, a womb of a mother. Now the state says it's okay to murder what God has brought forth life. So let's just recap for a moment. 1960, it's a key time. Prayer. Bible, gone. Life in a mother's womb, gone. Women's Lib is here. June the 6th, mark this down, this is interesting. June the 6th, 1966. 6-6-66. The Church of Satan began. Was founded. Did you know that? 1966, June the 6th, 6666. I was showing Brother Raymond earlier today on our offering for last week, we got $666. It says 666. Can't somebody just give another dollar? In 1960, the Church of Satan was born. In 1960, rock and roll music exploded. 1960s is when the Beatles came about beating. In 1960, friend, you'll find that rock and roll began to get a hold in the minds of our children. You'll find that beat in those words of sex and that drinking and of alcohol and marijuana began to take on, and LSD began to become high-rise. We find in 1960, rock and roll has made its play on this world. 1960s is when the children rebelled against the parents' teaching. That's when they began to grow their hair real long. When they began to wear unusual clothing. The whole saying and motto of the 1960s was, let's do our own thing. September of 1967, Woodstock began. Hippies were emerging. LSD were skyrocketing. It was the 1960s when the movie industry changed from Andy Griffith and the Beverly Hillbillies to more violent and more sexual and more of a time of making things that are just unbelievable and unreasonable and ungodly and anti-Bible and anti-church and anti-family. It was the 1960s, the movie industry turned from the wholesome of Andy Griffith and the Beverly Hillbillies to what we have today. And it's just spiraled down. 1960s. When the spirit of violence, sex, and drugs were prominent. 1960s found riots. Y'all remember 1960s? Riots, protest, violence, and unrest. It was time of the Vietnam War. 1960, Martin Luther King was murdered. 1960, Robert Kennedy was shot to death. In 1961, the court ruled against the law of one running for a public office must believe in God in Maryland. That was their law. Now, if you're going to run for office in Maryland, you've got to believe in God. The court ruled that's unconstitutional. 1963. If you take all time of all records prior to 1963, you add up all the records from prior to 1963 to 1963, you find that teenage pregnancies increased from 1963 to today. From ages of 15 to 19, 187% increase. It was up to 1963, then from 1963 onward, 187% of teenage pregnancies has rose. From ages 10 to 14, the pregnancy increased 553% in 1963. Sexual disease among young people increased 226%. Divorce rate from 1963 and up has increased for 226%. From 1963, unmarried living together is up 353%. From 1963, single-parent homes was up to 140%. From 1963, single parents with children are up 160%. Since 1963, now these numbers of comparison is before 1963.
Then in 1963, moving forward, that's the differences. In 1963, violent crime was up 544%. From 1940 to 1962, the teachers' complaints of school was talking, chewing gum, making noise, running in the hallway, getting out of line, or getting out of the turn in line. In 1963 to today, the complaints of teachers is rape, a robbery, assault, burglary, arson, drugs, and pregnancies. Since 1963, our SAT scores in our schools have been dropped and declined every year since 1963. In Judges chapter 21, verse 25 says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Do you not see, my dear fellow Americans, and dear brethren and sisters in the Lord today, that 56 years ago, that our country has made a decision to kick God out of it. And the Word of God says for Israel, the reason why that the country is in turmoil and unrest and violence and finding themselves with no peace is because for a season, Israel had not the true God. This morning, it's not the black, it's not the white, it's not the cop, it's not the president, it's not the church, it's not the family, it's not anyone this morning that we can look to and look for. We can't look at the drunk, we can't look at the druggie, we can't look at the criminal, we can't look at anybody, but we can look back to when God was no longer allowed nor wanted in this place called America. And from that day, from that time of 1960s, America has found themselves in violence and war. You can argue with me all you want to. It's not going to change my mind. Look at the facts of it. Where we were in 1960 and where we went. I ain't giving you all of it. I'll be here for 2 weeks telling you everything that happened in the 1960s. They were without God. I believe America's without God. That's our problem. Until we get back with God, and I'm not talking about any other God but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God called the Creator, His name is Jesus. Until we, as America, will turn back, and I don't know if there ever will be, will not find light in the midst of darkness here. But I have to be honest with you as your pastor, and I got to be truthful with you as an American living on this soil where we have left God. Without God. But let's look at verse chapter 15 and look in verse 3. Not did he say without the true God, but without a teaching priest. So not only was Jerusalem without God, but they were without instruction. Now let's understand. Let's take some scripture here and understand what God means by priest and see what he's trying to say to Asa concerning the nation of why the nation's at war. A teaching priest. What is a priest? Well, turn your Bibles quickly to Ezekiel chapter 44 and look in verse 23. Ezekiel 44 and verse 23. The Bible says, and they shall teach, talking about priest, they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane. And cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. Let's just stop right there for just a moment. The priest that was to teach Israel was to teach him, number one, what was holy and what was profane, unholy. That was his teaching. That was to teach them and tell them that this is what God calls holy, and this is what God calls profane or unholy. But then it says, cause them to discern. In other words, these teaching priests is not only to give them the facts and give them the information and give them the truth, but to cause them to make decision on whether they're going to go to the clean or go to the unclean. See, we've lost that in America. Preachers can't get up and preach any longer. Teachers can't get up and teach any longer because people wear their feelings on their shoulders. Because you can't tell the truth any longer. There is no wrong anymore. There is not a right nor a wrong. Everything is subject to your opinion and subject to your thoughts and subject to what you feel is right or wrong. But friend, God said, my teaching priest is to go tell them that there is a holy and there is an unholy, that there is a sin and there is not a sin, and then to put them in discernment and cause them to make a decision, will you go holy or unholy? Will you go clean or unclean? That was the priest. Friend, if you're in sin today, repent of your sin and turn to God. Those are just normal, natural preaching words with God's hand upon that man. But American churches today has lost that man. We're too busy gaining friends. We're too busy influencing people. We're too busy trying to not hurt people's feelings. We're trying to build a social club. We're trying to make sure we have a bunch of people. We're trying to build our fortunes and have bigger houses and bigger homes and bigger churches. We're trying to be friends with the world. We're trying to attract anything and everything. And friend, that's not what the teaching of God's priests were. And that's why there's wars. And that's why there's violence in Jerusalem. Because there was no teaching priest. They all became liberal. They all became mealy mouth and dumb dogs that won't bark and not telling the truth. That's sin. You can't do that and be Christian. You got to make a choice. Either you're going to stop, or you're going to quit, or you're going to go, and you're going to serve. And you've got to make choice. Oh, can I look at another one? Malachi chapter 2. Well, I'm trying to preach this today with my heart. I wish the whole world was in tune with this thought this morning. Malachi chapter 2, look at verse 1. God once again gives idea about what a priest is. He says, and now, O you priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you. And I will curse your blessings. Yea, I have cursed them already because you do not lay it to heart. Behold, I will corrupt your seed. Listen now. Spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feast, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace. I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth. Iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity and did turn many away from their iniquity. For the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. You have caused many to stumble at the law. You have corrupted the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. What's God saying there? God's saying, listen, priest. You're supposed to be a teaching priest. But not only are you to lay out what sin is and lay out what righteousness is and then make the people make a choice of which direction they're going to go in, but you've got to live it yourself. If you're going to preach it, you've got to live it. If you're going to say it, you've got to do it. You don't bear the burden on top of the people and then you escape the burden. You don't preach something that you can't keep. You don't preach something that you can't do. But in the day of Jerusalem, they were preaching and they were wicked in heart. They were sinful in themselves. They were living an ungodly life. They were speaking things that were not what God said. They were as amongst the people, as wicked and corrupt as they were. And I tell you today in America, the majority of so-called preachers today are as corrupt as America. They got extra marriages. They got mistresses. They're money hungry. They're covetous over things. They want big homes and big houses and big cars, and they want to live above their means. And friend, it's not about the salvation of the soul. It's about them and their retirement of someday. They're in a popularity contest. They want all the prestige. They want all the power and the authority. And friend, they want everything that they can get. And they're not concerned about turning anybody from iniquity. Listen to their messages. I get all kinds of rift, and I get all kinds of complaints, and I get all kinds of people criticizing me because on Sunday morning, the majority of time, I'm preaching salvation. That won't change. You're going to have to change. That ain't going to quit. You're going to have to quit. The fact of the matter is this morning, listen to their messages. Listen to how many times that they preach that somebody can repent and receive Christ as their Savior. Check it out. Get on all the big ones. Look at all the mega churches. Test them out. One of the problems with all that is they got one service. They might have two services on the same day, but they preach the same message on both services. And messages, because if you preach one message and it's you're a sinner and you're going to die and go to hell if you don't get saved, that won't build big churches. And that won't make you that much friends either. And you only got one time to do it. And if you do it in that negative tone, if you do that with making people feel bad or feel kind of guilty of their self, they're not going to come back for that one service. Check it out. I challenge you. I've been challenging you. And you'll find, as it was in the days Chapter 15 of 2 Chronicles, the teaching priests, they didn't have any. They had none. That's why they were warring, and that's why there was violence. You know what's wrong with America today? The preachers have stopped preaching. There's no spiritual guidance, there's no spiritual help, and there's no spiritual leadership. We've got corners on every single thing of our society. We have the best of everything. We've got all the resources of all things. And you know where America's lacking? Spiritually. Number three. The reason why the cause of this war, and I believe the cause of this war in America, why? Because without God, the true God. Without instruction, that's the true preacher. But we're without authority. Look at verse 3 of 2 Chronicles. It tells us this morning of something of the law. Of the law. He says, without law. You know what they didn't have back then? They didn't have law. You know what law is? Law is absolute truth. That's just the truth. The law, for example, for us maybe to understand, is the speed limit is 65 miles an hour. If you're going 75, you go to a cop or the cop stops you and says you're going 75, you're going to get a ticket. You say, well, man, listen, why can't we just make it 70? The law is absolute truth. It says 65. It's not going to be changed. If it is changed, it's going to be changed over lawmakers who make the change. It's 65. me and that cop can't have some sort of arrangement and say, okay, listen, let's just change it for this hour. And then it all work out with us. No, absolute truth. That's the truth. Back in the days of 2 Chronicles, there was no truth. You know what's in America? There's no truth. You know why? Because America has taken away the Bible. The King James Version. If you have any other Bible besides the King James Version Bible, you don't have a Bible. Now, I know that's pretty strong. But listen, friend, when I read my Bible and you read your Bible and it don't say the same, one of ours is wrong. Is that true? That means we don't have absolute truth. You can read a Bible. I can read a Bible. It says different things. There's no truth with that. There's confusion in that. It's completely holy. Without the Bible says that there was no law, meaning there was nothing within the society of that nation that was completely holy. The law is holy. That's what the Bible teaches it. So there was nothing, if they didn't have the law, it meant they didn't have anything holy. And when we take the Bible out of our nation, we don't have anything holy. They can say the Holy Quran. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons can say their book is holy. The Catholic Church has the tradition of the followers that say it's holy. You got the Buddhists and you got the Hindus and you got other groups out there that say they've got the book. As it was in the days of 2 Chronicles, they didn't have no law. They had nothing that was holy. They had nothing that all that was absolute truth, completely holy. And thirdly, they had nothing of sole authority. They had no law. There was no authority within that nation. So everybody was an authority unto themselves. In other words, the government has authority. The people have authority. Owners have authority. Everybody has authority. You know what that creates? War. When there's no absolute truth, meaning that you can be truthful, but then somebody else can be truthful, and y'all talk about the same scene or the same situation, but it's different truth. There's no truth in that. So what happened to Israel, what happened to Judah, what happened to those days is happening to America. There is absolutely no truth. When you can take somebody of a Hillary Clinton, just on not just one of the many things of her emails, and you could take seven things that the director said and the same things that he said, she contradicts on TV, in real life, documented, read, she did say this. We heard the video and audio of it. We heard him say it through his investigations. And yet, nothing's done. Because there's no absolute truth. There's no sole authority, and there's nothing holy. Why in America is cops being killed? Why people are being killed by the cops? And why is the violence and all the other stats I gave you? It ain't because of people. It's because there's no Bible. There's no authority. There's no holiness. And there's absolutely no truth. What happened to Jerusalem? So they're without God. They're without a preacher. And without a Bible. That's why they are where they are. And because of that, my last point, and I close. Well, not my last point, but my last point for today. Is because of all that, they're without peace. Look at verse 4. Chapter 15. But when they are in trouble, did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, and He was found of them. Verse 5. Pay close to this now. From all that I've got through preaching and the truth that was given to you, the angel, the Spirit of God gave to the prophet these words. And in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in. There was no, it was unrest, it was discomfort, it was tumultuous, it was confusion, it was uproar, it was destruction in verse 6. Nation was destroyed of nation, city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. And then verse 6 tells us there's judgment. What did God do? God, the Bible says, He vexed them with adversity. That adversity means tightness, affliction, anguish, distress, and trouble. What are you trying to say this morning? I'm saying this for the last time. America, in 1960, removed God from this nation. And because of that removal of God, we find that we are a nation without the true God, a nation without the true preacher, a nation without the true Bible. And thirdly, because of that, was peace. And whether you go out into the streets or whether you come in, it's just going to be complete worry and fear, uproar, distress. And it's because God is judging. And because that judges, He's putting vexation and affliction upon this country. Until we repent and turn to God individually, nationally, we'll find more of the judgment of God upon this country. That's why rehabs don't work. That's why jails and prisons don't work. That's why psychologists and psychiatrists don't work. And that's why you're finding more mental. That's why you're finding more diseases such as bipolar. Why you find more schizophrenia. You're finding more mental places are causing the mental places are being full. That's why you're finding today the drug industry is going out of sight. Because they're trying to cover up all these symptoms. And the cause of these things is without God, without spiritual leadership, and without absolute truth. Our country, the only hope for it is that starting with me and you, that we turn back to God. God, help us today. If you come back, I'll finish the message for tonight. As we stand to our feet, with this thought today, I hope it might have brought some sort of encouragement to you. At least we know where we are and why we're there. This is not a guess today. I didn't preach something that I'm just bumping my gums with. I've given you Scripture today, and I'm paralleling it with America. I need not only Americans to have broken hearts. We need Christians to begin to beg God and cry out to God for mercy and grace for this great nation of America. Don't know what else may be said today that would cause your heart to break. That would cause your knees to bend. It would cause you to have a voice unto God. And ask for forgiveness and cleansing of your own life and your own place and bringing purity and holiness back into your life, into your home, into your church, and to raise up within America a remnant that will stand strong and stand long. You sing, Brother George. Oh, would you cry out to God this morning? Would you examine your own heart? See whether you're in a faith or not. Oh, cry out to the Holy God. Give them back our country. He's the one who made it. He's the one who created it. He's the one that produced it. Give it back to them. God, this is your country. We give it back to you. Oh, Lord. We give it back to you. You take over. You do as you please with us. How much more does Americans need to see before they turn back to the God of gods and the Lord of lords? God, make us have an evangelistic fervor. Oh, we ought to be blowing the trumpet. God, help us not to be quiet. Help us not to be silent. Let others know about the help and the hope that America does have in Christ. God, help us not to get complacent, get cold and hard, and thinking this is the way it's going to be, because it's eventually coming to your home. It's eventually coming to your house. Eventually going to affect your family. We're not alone out here, folks. Well, if God don't come in, and God don't bring rest, we'll not have night.